The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Fast moving week. We're already here at the last program of the week, but we're here with a special announcement. If you would like to have more Trumpet Daily Radio Show programming over the oncoming weekend, well, we have a treat scheduled for tomorrow. There will be a Saturday edition for all of you self-isolators. There will be a Saturday edition of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're going to be broadcasting live here from Edstone at 2 p.m. So the time will be 2 hours after what we typically do, wherever you happen to be in the world. So if you're here in the UK, you can catch us at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I think there's still a five-hour difference between here and Oklahoma. So Central Standard Time back in Oklahoma. Back in the Midwest there, that'll be at 9 a.m. in the morning. I guess it would be 10 a.m. On the East Coast, and 7 and 8 out West if you're in the United States. So that's tomorrow. Same procedures. We'll have the live stream on KPCG, the radio signal. The stream, of course, they're locally in Edmond. And then we'll also be putting the live stream video on YouTube, Facebook, and all of the usual places that we broadcast this show. So this is not the last show of the week. That would be tomorrow, another live stream presentation from this very studio. Well, the cure is far worse than the disease. That's what we've been pointing out this past week. As bad as the disease might be, the cure, all of these extreme draconian measures put in place, look at the impact. Yesterday, we talked about big government, big, bloated, powerful government trampling all over our liberties, including our religious liberties, things like freedom of assembly. You've got the entire state of California now under lockdown. 40 million people. Essentially under house arrest. You've got the governor of that state saying that, well, you know, we do have the power to instill martial law if we have to. We're not going to do that yet, but we do have that power. A military government where everything that's ordinary is just out the window. They're actually talking about that. The cure, it's far worse than the disease. I didn't get the, I probably have it here on the running count. How many people in California have died as a result of this virus? That would be 19. 19 in a state of 40 million people. 217 is the total count for the United States. 217 deaths. And look at what's happening to the economy. Look at what's happening to government. Look at what's happening with trillion-dollar bailout packages. Look at what's happening to ordinary Americans. How many side effects are there associated with this cure? Victor Davis Hanson, so far as I know, he's about the only one that's even talked about the side effects. Well, we talked yesterday about that Trumpet article, amid coronavirus, Europe takes dictatorial measures. We're seeing it happen all over the world. This is what autocrats have been dreaming of. What an opportunity for a power grab. And then in some kind of weird and twisted and bizarre turn, you have the left-wing media praising China after all of this. It's China that's now praised as, well, they've had solutions. They've sent aid out to nations like Italy that needs it. And this is where it all started. That point of fact would be lost on the media were it not for the President of the United States getting up there daily saying that this came from China. This is where it started. On the program yesterday, I played those clips from Donald McNeil. He's the New York Times science and health reporter. And he was on TV just a week ago with Rachel Maddow singing praises to the communist authoritarian Chinese government, the state government of China, and all of the authoritarian means that it used to supposedly arrest the spread of this virus. Here's just one of the clips we played yesterday, clip one.
And that is the key element. There is no home isolation. There is no home quarantine. 75 to 80% of the transmission in China was in family clusters. What would make the news was things like, oh, my God, it's in the prisons. Oh, my God, it's in parliament or whatever. It wasn't in parliament there. But you'd hear these kind of, oh, my, but 75 to 80% of it was inside the family. And they knew they had to stop that if they were going to stop the disease. So people were literally quickly taken away from their families to these giant gymnasiums or stadiums where they were not concentration camps. They were beds, you know, there, and there were nurses in protective gear to watch out for people. They even had dance classes in these things. Because when you have lots of little old ladies sort of sitting there together waiting to see if they're okay, if you get them all up dancing, one, it helps clear their lungs if they have pneumonia, and the people who can't get up, maybe the ones who are crashing. It's not a bad policy.
They had beds? They had dance classes at these Chinese concentration camps? He says that they were just, you know, quickly taken away from their families. There's no home isolation, no home quarantine. So we're just one step away from that in California. Now, everyone in California is under house arrest. Everyone in California is under home quarantine, even if you're healthy. Even if you're completely healthy. That's the order of Governor Newsom. And then you take it one step further, and judging by the Twitter reaction, as I said yesterday, the Twitter reaction to that interview we just played, there's quite a few in America that would just prefer to have it even like that, where they come and they rip you away from your family and your home, and they take you right to the detention center where they have beds and dance classes. Life in China. People underneath that clip were saying, man, this video, it needs to be shared a zillion times. This should be required viewing. Boy, we're in the United States, we're so far behind. And then another one, as I read yesterday, I don't think we'll have the low mortality rates that they did of 3.4%. I don't think we're going to have the low mortality rates that China had. With them, it was only 3.4%. With us, it's surely going to be a lot higher. Here is your media, your American media, singing praises to China. Tucker Carlson played a montage last night, just as an example of this fact. Here's how that went, clip two.
Some CNN contributors have practically become emissaries for Beijing. Watch this.
It was China that came to the rescue as Italy shook, sending medical personnel, 9 pallets of ventilators, electrocardiographs, and tens of thousands of masks, all desperately needed by a healthcare system in crisis and appreciated by Italians stuck at home singing China's praise. Europe had few other options. Donald Trump's America First policy has seen a gradual worsening of the transatlantic alliance over issues like climate change, trade, and most recently, over Trump's failure to consult Europe over the coronavirus travel ban, with China now stepping into the global leadership role long abandoned by the American president.
It's almost unbelievable that they ran that on the air. It was just pure bootlicking. Flacking for the communist Chinese government. By the
way, it's Tucker Carlson talking about the fawning coverage They're on CNN. They love China. Quite a few politicians love China. Who's called out China? Can you think of one powerful individual in the United States who's actually stood up to China? That would be President Donald Trump. Quite a few in Congress. Well, the Biden family, you think that they're connected in Ukraine? That's a drop in the bucket comparatively. Who does China want to win? Just as an aside, who would China rather have as president? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Joe Biden's the Democratic opponent now. Lots of questions to consider as we look at the mass hysteria, as we step back and we try to see this from the big picture perspective. You heard the montage there. Here's NBC, a reporter, talking again about China and its impact on this crisis. Clip 3.
And China and South Korea and those Asian countries, Hoda, may have helped Western Europe and America by delaying the arrival of the coronavirus here. But now they are worrying that they may get reinfected by the coronavirus from the rest of the world.
You see how it's come full circle? Now we're the ones that are endangering the Chinese. They're worried that they're going to be infected by us, by the West, by Italy, by France, Spain, the United States. The Babylon Bee, that's the satire site. Communist Party of China can't believe they're getting such great coverage from the American media for free. That site's meant to be a joke. What does it say about the American media when the satire site is closer to the truth than an NBC reporter or than CNN? Here we are, our media mouthpieces, just spewing communist propaganda daily. Somehow China bought us some time, but we squandered it. That's what they wrote in the New York Times, remember? This director general of the World Health Organization, we'll just use his first name because he has a long name. He's from Ethiopia. Tedros is his name. We played the clip yesterday. This is the individual that said in March, early March, that the death rate of this virus is 3.4%. Now, I want to play that for you again. Here's clip 4.
The second major difference is that COVID-19 causes more severe disease than seasonal influenza. While many people globally have built up immunity to seasonal flu strains, COVID-19 is a new virus to which no one has immunity. That means more people are susceptible to infection, and some will suffer severe disease. Globally, about 3.4% of reported COVID-19 cases have died. By comparison, seasonal flu generally kills far fewer than 1% of those infected.
So we've gone through the math. 3.4% death rate on coronavirus, 0.1% or 0.1% death rate on the ordinary flu. 0.1%. Now, this World Health Organization Director General, Tedros from Ethiopia, The Hill, wrote on March 17th, a couple days ago. It says, from the outset, Tedros has defended China despite its gross mismanagement of the highly contagious disease. As the number of cases and the death toll soared, the WHO took months to declare COVID-19 outbreak as a pandemic, even though it had met the criteria of transmission between people, high fatality rates, and worldwide spread. Now, I'm not saying I exactly agree with everything that The Hill establishes there as sort of the basic facts of this case. But what's interesting here is this man's close association with China. He defended China in January. He praised China for how they were handling this disease. He came out and said, look, the disease, it doesn't spread like we thought initially. And I have to congratulate China for its transparency. This is what Tedros, the Director General of the World Health Organization, was saying in January. Now, you look back at the timeline, it was late January, I think, when we had our first case of coronavirus in the United States, and it was something like a week or 10 days later when President Trump instituted the travel ban on Chinese flights coming into the United States. He acted immediately. And how did Tedros respond to that? Because he, after all, is the director of the World Health Organization. How did he react to the travel ban on January 31st? Well, he said, we reiterate our call to all countries not to impose restrictions that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade. Such restrictions can have the effect of increasing fear and stigma with little public health benefit. This is racist. He's one of the ones who said this is racist. Joe Biden's another one. Joe Biden has some really close contacts with the Chinese communist state. He's made a lot of money off them, his family. So here's Tedros, February 4th, this year. We're going back just 6 weeks. And he's criticizing President Trump for taking that action. Why would he do such a thing? Well, that's quarantine. That was the United States in January, self-isolating. The Hill says when he should have been focusing on global counter-pandemic efforts, Tedros instead was politicizing the crisis and helping Xi to shirk his responsibility for a series of wrongdoings in addressing the outbreak. Tedros used the WHO platform to defend the Chinese government's gross violation of human rights. For example, from its first case discovered in November to its Wuhan lockdown, and even until today, China has been dishonest about the coronavirus's origin and prevalence. People who tried to uncover it were detained or disappeared, their online reports and posts deleted. China has misinformed and misled the world, and Tedros joined this effort by publicly praising China's transparency in battling the spread of the disease. So early on, he was one of China's biggest supporters. He was one of China's biggest defenders. Why? It says here, China recently pledged $20 million to help the WHO fight the COVID-19 outbreak. You see, just like NBC reported, they're helping now. They're helping Italy. Italy's healthcare system is under such stress that China is coming to the rescue. China wants to help Italy. China wants to help the United Nations. China wants to help Ethiopia, as this article brings out. It says here, but we note China's connections to Tedros's homeland of Ethiopia, now called East Africa's Little China, because it has become China's bridgehead to influence Africa and a key to China's Belt and Road Initiative there. China, it says, has invested heavily in Ethiopia. See, we're looking at quid pro quos. China's invested heavily in the Biden family. It says here, Tedros was elected to his position with the WHO in 2017, despite the fact that he was not trained as a medical doctor and had no global health management experience. Did you hear that? He is the Director General of the World Health Organization. This arm of the United Nations, who, just as an aside, who would the United Nations prefer in the White House this November? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? no medical experience, not trained as a doctor. And he was the one covering for China in January, rebuking Donald Trump in February for putting in the travel ban, and then frightening the world in early March, saying that this virus has a death rate of 3.4%. How about that? No experience in the medical profession. It says here, a former minister of the health and minister of foreign affairs of Ethiopia, Tedros, is an executive member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, political party which came to power through a struggle in 1991 and has been listed as a perpetrator in the global terrorism database. This is the Hill. It's not exactly a right-wing conservative blog, is it? He's listed, his political party, listed in the global terrorism database. It says after he became the WHO's chief, critics questioned Tedros' attempt to appoint then-Zimbabwe director Robert Mugabe as WHO goodwill ambassador. He almost got Mugabe a post as a goodwill ambassador. This is describing an emissary, to use the term Tucker Carlson did, an emissary of Beijing. That's who's heading up the WHO. And he was working actively to cover for China in January, to rebuke the president in February, and then to come out with this, what has now been thoroughly discredited, death percentage, the lethality rate of the coronavirus. He came out with that on March 3rd, and then announced a global pandemic on March 11th. And as I said yesterday, he's still out there calling for even more draconian actions. This is what he said on Wednesday, clip 5.
To suppress and control the epidemics, countries must isolate, test, treat, and trace. If they don't, transmission chains can continue at a low level, then resurge once physical distancing measures are lifted. WHO continues to call on all countries to implement a comprehensive approach with the aim of slowing down transmission and flattening the curve. This approach is saving lives and buying time for the development of vaccines and treatments.
He's calling on countries this week to isolate, which is exactly what President Trump did on January 31st. On March 3rd, he said it's 3.4%, the death rate. And Donald Trump immediately responded by saying, I don't agree with that figure at all. I have a hunch that it's much less than 1%. So who is telling the truth? And the whole Western media, are they going to come out now and say, you at least have to congratulate The Hill. But are they going to come out now and say that this man is guilty of scaremongering? He's one of the ones responsible. He's certainly not alone. I'm not saying that. But he's one of the ones. He has these close ties with China. He's got some close ties with his friends in the Western media, CNN. They were there announcing the pandemic March 9th. And then comes Tedros. And Tedros says, this is something like, well, you can do the math. If he's going with the 0.1% death rate for the flu, and he says it's 3.4% for coronavirus, this is something much more than 10 times, which Dr. Fauci said. This is something like 40 times more lethal than the ordinary flu. And the Western media, of course, they're taking this and running with it. I had to cut and paste this CNN story from, I think it was from Wednesday, because I knew they'd probably come out with revisions to the article, updates, as they often do, thanks to Google. You can't very well just go in and erase the record. There's going to be a lot of people, though, in a few weeks, I predict, a lot of people that are going to want to go back and erase some of their reporting. This is from Wednesday, this article, and it's by Holly Yan, Christina Maxeris, Steve Almazy, with contributions from Melanie Schumann, Amanda Watts, Myrna Al-Sharif, Athena Jones, and Mark Morales. Okay, CNN turned an army of reporters loose on this story I'm about to read to you. It says here, U.S. coronavirus cases soar past 7,000. The continuing surge, it says later in the title. The American healthcare system might not be prepared for what's next in the coronavirus pandemic if people don't heed warnings from authorities, health officials say. We better heed what has been handed down by Governor Newsom or Governor Cuomo or the governor of Ohio. If you don't, people are going to die. Now, we're certainly not suggesting that you should resist against these mandates, but these are alarming mandates. It says every state now has coronavirus after West Virginia reported its first case. Every state in the United States now has coronavirus. In other words, every state in the U.S. has somebody that's sick. Shocking. Says here, the bottom line is things will get much worse, said James Phillips, an assistant professor at George Washington University. So they went to George Washington University, and they found an assistant professor who said it's going to get much worse. We're at a significant risk of overwhelming the number of hospital beds we have. Says two major factors are fueling this pandemic, the fact that people with no symptoms can easily spread the virus, and problems with testing in the U.S. So you've got two problems. You've got the ignorant sheep that can easily spread the virus because they have no symptoms, they don't know about it. And then, of course, you have Donald Trump, who he's not testing people. So you blame the sheeple, and you blame Donald Trump. It says here, we're so far behind testing. There's only one way we can be certain not to transmit the virus and be certain not to get it ourselves. And that is we need to start treating every person as though they have this. I read this Wednesday. Like I say, I couldn't even believe what I was reading. We need to treat every person in the United States. That's 329 million people. We need to treat every one of them as if they have the virus. How many deaths so far in the United States? 217. It says, similarly, everyone needs to treat us like we have it and socially distance ourselves in that manner. It says, because until we have adequate testing, we don't know who has this, and we're not sure when they start spreading it. So everyone just obey and listen to us, the medical profession, the health officials. Listen to this assistant professor at George Washington. He's an assistant. He's studying medicine. Surely he knows as much, if not more, as Tedros heading up the WHO. Says here, as the U.S. scrambles to fight the outbreak, states are ordering new shutdowns and restrictions every day. As the U.S. scrambles, the translation being the federal government, Donald Trump, the White House, as the White House scrambles, it's the states who are intervening. It says at least 39 states have shut down schools. Nevada ordered the closure of all non-essential businesses for 30 days. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order Wednesday that requires at least 50% of business employees to work from home. See, the cure, remember, is worse than the disease. It says here, in Ohio, one bar, listen to this, one bar was padlocked and barricaded for violating the governor's order Sunday and Monday, the Cincinnati Police Department said. Not only are you putting the general public at risk, you're putting our officers at risk that had to go in and deal with the individuals that were in violation. That's the police commissioner. They're in Ohio. They're boarding up this place of business and then saying, you could have made us sick because you didn't obey this mandate. This is all happening because of a virus, a sickness, that from what we can tell, as the numbers continue to come in, it's far less lethal than we were told. States such as Michigan and New Mexico have limited public gatherings to fewer than 50 people. Oregon put a cap at 25. Earlier this week, the government said Americans should avoid groups of more than 10. In Northern California, about 8 million have been ordered to shelter in place. Well, that's now been updated. The whole state is under lockdown. The whole state has been ordered to stay inside their houses. The San Jose mayor, he said this, history will not forgive us for waiting an hour more. So many mayors, local officials, state officials, they're right on board with this total lockdown. San Francisco banned all non-essential travel. Well, again, all of this now has been superseded by Governor Newsom's mandate. Here's the San Francisco mayor, another left-winger. It says, we know these measures will significantly disrupt people's day-to-day lives, but they are absolutely necessary. The U.S. is 2 months too late in preparing. We're 2 months too late. Well, supposing that's even true, who do we blame for that? Who is saying back in January that, well, you know, China's done everything just great? We're 2 months too late, so we got to take these extreme actions. Another one here says there won't be enough hospital beds, medical staff, or equipment to handle the coronavirus outbreak if it continues at its current pace. How many total cases are there in the United States? I think something like 14,000, maybe more. 217 deaths. 14,000 people are sick in a country of 329 million. 329 million. This is the level of panic that we were at just Wednesday. It says health officials say the U.S. won't adequately be prepared for this pandemic. 2 years ago, the CDC stopped funding epidemic prevention activities in 39 countries, including China, after the Trump administration refused to reallocate money to a program that started during the government's response to the 2014 Ebola outbreak. So they refer to Ebola under the Obama years and then say it's Trump's fault. He's not funding enough, not spending enough money. It says in response to the coronavirus outbreak, we're 2 months too late in starting to do this. That's according to someone who studies hospital preparedness at Johns Hopkins. So now it's up to the public to take precautions and avoid giving and receiving the virus. It's not at all clear to me that hospitals are prepared for what's about to happen, CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta said. Now, Sanjay is the one that declared it to be a pandemic first. He came out on March the 9th and said, this is why from now on, all of our coverage is going to be, it's going to be pandemic. That's the language we're going to use. It says here, what needs to happen in this country is we need to break the cycle of transmission. And it doesn't look like that's happening right now. Medical equipment providers struggle to keep up. Well, talks about the number of ventilators that we have. It says here it might be focused on, well, a surge that could happen. And I'll just remind you again of the number of people that put in work on that article. That's from 2 days ago. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 reporters doing everything that they can to scare the public, to scare the public. CNN, actually, these reporters could benefit from a little bit of self-isolation without their laptops. This is just crazy. This is irrational. To be talking about a healthcare system that's about to collapse because of these numbers that don't even rise to the level of an ordinary flu, not even close. But the health officials, the city officials, the state officials, they are all locking down society. As I said, 40 million people live in California. Here's what Governor Newsom said yesterday when announcing the stay-at-home mandate. Clip six.
There's a mutuality and there's a recognition of our interdependence that requires of this moment that we direct a statewide order for people to stay at home.
So it's a statewide order. Everyone stays at home. He said this the day before about the power that he has at his disposal. Clip seven.
If you want to establish a framework of martial law, which is ultimate authority and enforcement, we have the capacity to do that, but we are not at this moment feeling that is a necessity.
We have the capacity to do that, to establish martial law, a military government in the state of California. At this time, though, at this moment, we don't feel it's a necessity, but we're not ruling it out. Never has this happened in the history of the United States, and yet it's just kind of talked about casually. Well, we have to. We have to, because people are sick. How many are sick? Well, it's a couple thousand. And how many have died? I think a couple dozen. The whole state on lockdown? That's what's happened. You might as well suspend all ordinary rules and regulations and laws. Like, you might as well suspend the Constitution. Everything else is suspended. That's the thinking. Listen to MSNBC as it reported on this lockdown in the state of California. Clip 8.
California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered all 40 million residents to stay at home to slow the coronavirus spread. The governor warned the White House today more than half the state's population could be infected with the virus within 8 weeks. That's about 20, 25 million people.
The governor warned the White House, he said there, that in 8 weeks, half the state will undoubtedly have this virus. So that's 20 million, as you just heard there. We'll take the 20 million figure. That means over the next 8 weeks, there are going to be 680,000 deaths in the state of California. I'm just giving you the statistics. I'm giving you the facts as they come from the World Health Organization, as they come from Governor Newsom's office. 680,000. That's 3.4% of 20 million. What if it's just 1%? Like an especially bad flu season. If it's just 1% death, that's 200,000 casualties. What if it's 1/10 of 1%? That's 20,000 deaths in the next 8 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if this pans out. The authorities have told us. The authorities have it in writing. They've stated it at press conferences. The governor of Ohio, remember, said it doubles every 6 days. Right now, there are 200,000 people in Ohio who have the virus. That's just according to the health officials there. And if the director general of the WHO is right, that means there's 6,800 people who are dead or are dying in Ohio. Right now, officially, there's just one. You take 1% of 200,000, that's 2,000 deaths. What do we have in total here in the United States? Or there. I'm at Edstone, don't worry. We have 217 from sea to shining sea. That's it. Italy yesterday, by the way, they overtook China. They now lead, if you can call it that, the death count. I think something like 3,400 have died in Italy, most of them in northern Italy. And it's about the same number that die every year in Italy on the road. Traffic fatalities. Every year. Each year, about 17,000 people in Italy die from the ordinary flu. So as sad and as tragic as it is for Italy, it might be, if it goes on 9 months, 12 months, like they're also on record as saying, the experts, I mean, then it may well rise to the level of something that's even more deadly than an ordinary flu. But right now, just to keep things in perspective, 3,400 have died in Italy, and about 17,000 from year to year die of the flu. But this necessitates, in some ways, a soft martial law. And we're not even ruling out martial law entirely. So says the governor of America's most populous state. Here's the actor, Sean Penn, on cable last night talking about how effective it is when there's a military takeover. Clip 9.
We have been left to this kind of chaos. There's, I've said it many times, there is no greater humanitarian force on the planet than the United States military. Their logistical skills, their commitment to service, their care for the people. Of course, there it was a non-fighting mission, as it would be here, with the exception of the virus that we're all fighting as one species against it. And I think that any little activity that's happened has happened far too late, but it's really time to give the military the full breadth command and control of this operation.
Give the military the full breadth command and control of this operation. World War Flu, that's what this is. We've got to unleash the military to fight against this flu virus, to fight against the Wuhan flu. And there's quite a few, as I said yesterday, there's quite a few autocrats on the lower levels that are quite happy to step to the fore as generals leading armies of essential personnel, even as everyone else is mandated to stay inside the house. Here's Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York earlier this week as well, clip 10.
If it means that I have extraordinary powers to determine where people can be, when, you know, to determine what kind of gatherings are acceptable or not, where, you know, parts of the city, how we handle who goes in, who goes out. Now, look, I'm not using all these powers immediately.
But he certainly does have them. And that clip actually was from about a week ago. And so New York, they're heading in the same direction as London, as all these big cities in the state of California. And we have to do this. We have to act now because, like Joe Scarborough said last night, this is just act one. We're just at the very, very, very early stage. Clip 11.
We're just in act one of this. Act two is when the hospitals start to get jammed, Mika, when our
lack of supplies.
Healthcare professionals don't have the supplies they need to keep them safe. Then they go down. And the possibility, the very real possibility, and I'm certainly not saying this to disturb anybody, but this is the reality we seem to be facing. If healthcare professionals don't have the safety supplies they need, then our healthcare professionals go down, and then suddenly an overtaxed emergency room, an mm-hmm. overtaxed hospital, an overtaxed healthcare system collapses.
Everything just collapses. This is where we're headed. We're at Act 1. Act 2 is this. Act 3, we're headed for full-scale collapse. And so everyone's taking these emergency measures. Everyone, if you hear the same reporters, everyone except for the President of the United States, he's not acting strong enough. How you can't make this stuff up. For 3 years, they went on and on and on about how much of an authoritarian he is, how dangerous he is, how Hitlerian he is. And now, evidently, he's not doing anything. No testing. He was late. He got off to a late start on this. This is Mayor de Blasio once again criticizing the president for not using the tools at his disposal. Clip 12.
I will only say to the president, I don't understand. And I think there are millions and tens of millions of Americans who don't understand what you are doing right now. You are not using the tools of your office. This is one of the greatest emergencies our nation has faced in generations. Every tool must be brought to bear. For some reason, you continue to hesitate. I said it not to be flip, but to note the historical parallel. President Trump, right now, you are the Herbert Hoover of your generation. You are watching and waiting and missing every chance to be bold and to act to protect our nation.
Now, the truth of it is, the president actually has taken some unprecedented action, but he is exercising some bit of restraint as well, offering suggestions as he did earlier this week, but not issuing a mandate. And here are the left-wing autocrats saying that the president's not enough of an autocrat. Here is Tom Friedman last night on one of the talk shows saying that this is actually what the president should be doing. Clip 13.
I appreciate why the president wants to talk about cures and vaccines. He wants to emphasize the positive. But right now, actually, the greatest gift he could give the country, his greatest act of leadership, actually would be to maybe instill a little fear in people so they would shelter in place, so they will socially distance, so we can manage what is now unavoidable and avoid what would be unmanageable.
That's another New York Times columnist who's a big fan of the communist regime in China. He loves China. He loves how the Chinese communist government can get things done so quickly. They don't have to go through parliament and the House of Representatives and all that. It really can move that communist machine. And now he's there saying that the president, if the one thing he can do to help in this situation is to instill fear, to incite panic, to scare everyone like the WHO leader did on March 3rd. Can you see what's going on here? It's exactly what my father's written about in America Under Attack, saving America from the radical left. America's still under attack. It didn't stop because of the election in November of 2016. It's still being attacked. The goal here is to blot out America, to blot out the administration. And so that's why you see this concerted effort to make the country more chaotic. That's why you're seeing these naked power grabs. It's happening right in front of our eyes. They want to cause disruption. They want chaos. It furthers their cause. It expands the size of government. It gives them more power. This is what they lust for. This next clip here, I don't know who Ron Klain is, but he's on with Brian Williams. And here again, he's talking about everything that this president is doing wrong. And then you hear Brian Williams, for his part, chip in at the last. Clip 14.
President Trump stands at that podium every day and says things that are untrue. He says that cures are coming that aren't really coming. Vaccines are coming that aren't really coming. That Google's built some website that they haven't really built. That you can get tests when you can't really get them. And so people can't really rely on that information. We need to hear CDC tell us accurate information on a timely basis.
So far, we're using governors as subcontractors in all of this. Ron.
That's Brian Williams saying, well, boy, thankfully we have these strong-handed governors. Thankfully, we have some governors ruling with an iron fist. They're saving us. This president, he's destroying us. He's to blame for all this. It's the Trump virus. President Trump yesterday, he's coming out every day with his task force, keeping the country updated, telling the country about what they're doing, giving them hope, telling them this will hopefully be over sooner rather than later. And this is another reporter who says that, look, you haven't been prepared for this. Listen to this exchange from yesterday, clip 15.
You did say a few days ago, though, you did have a sense that this was a pandemic that was coming. So why was the United States not prepared with more testing?
We were very prepared. The only thing we weren't prepared for was the media. The media has not treated it fairly. I'll tell you how prepared I was. I called for a ban from people coming in from China long before anybody thought it was. In fact, it was your network. I believe they called me a racist because I did that. It was many of the people in the room. They called me racist and other words because I did that, because I went so early. So when you say we weren't prepared, had I let these tens of thousands of people come in from China a day, we would have had something right now that would have been, you wouldn't have even recognized it compared to where we are. How many people have passed away? How many people have died as of this moment? You could multiply that by a factor of many, many, many. So when you say that I wasn't prepared, I was the first one to do the ban. Now other countries are following what I did. But the media doesn't acknowledge that. They know it's true. They know it's true, but they don't want to write about it. Yeah.
They know it's true. January 31st, the first one. And now other countries are following suit, in some ways, with even more stringent measures. How much were they talking about coronavirus before the end of the impeachment proceedings? How much was the World Health Organization talking about the danger of this virus? It was just the opposite. They were saying it wasn't dangerous and that China had done a spectacular job. And then when did it all change? How did it all change? Why did it all change? I'm still working to try to put all the pieces together, but the more you look into it, the more you can see that we have been, once again, we have been lied to. We're not getting the truth. We're not getting the full truth. Before impeachment, nothing. After impeachment, here's the next big story. I think the president, right at the end of February, I think he was onto something when he said, this is the latest iteration of the hoax that's been there from the beginning. The disease is real. Of course it's real. And in some cases it's deadly. I think you can certainly question how deadly it is, though, compared to the flu. I've gotten into that enough this week. But there is a lot of evil behavior. The same people that 2 seconds ago despised this president, despised the founding documents of the United States, despised the ordinary Americans in the flyover states, they still feel the same way. Nothing changed. This virus didn't change any of that. How much of what you hear, how much of what you read, how much of what you see, can you even believe? Well, we can certainly look at the bottom line. We can certainly look at the death toll. That's a confirmed number. You wonder if, in the minds of some, they'll even try to play with those numbers to further their cause, to promote their agenda. But right now, you look at the numbers, and it just doesn't add up. And I think we were talking about this earlier today, Sam and Richard. You look at the United States, I think you see some of it in the spring break activities that continue on. I think you see it here in the UK, with even after all these warnings, quite a few Brits taking to the pubs at night. I think people, one commentator tweeted out that we're pretty much near saturation point on all this scaremongering, on all of these mandates, all of these decrees, all of these empty shelves, all of this panic buying. You wonder if they're already planning for their pivot. You wonder if they already sense that they've reached saturation point that there's nowhere else to go with this. You can almost hear them saying, declaring, hey, listen, millions were going to die, but thanks to the authoritarians, thanks to the strong-handed tactics, we saved you. We saved all of you, the plebs. We protected you. We took the action that we did because we love you. We wanted to help you. Victor Davis Hanson, that piece I read yesterday. Wow, I'm already out of time. I'll have to hurry. He says here, the total deaths for the swine flu, 43 million to 89 million cases, between 9,000 and 18,000 casualties, deaths. And we then to think that, are we then to think that either by act of commission or omission, knowingly or unknowingly, a decision was made that the economic vitality of the country was more critical to the nation's health than the real chance in retrospect of the H1N1 virus infecting, say, 50 million Americans and killing perhaps 12,000, including 1,000 children? In other words, we didn't let that destroy the economy. But this does? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget about our special broadcast tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. here at Edstone, 9 a.m. in the Central Standard Time of the United States. That's Oklahoma time. That's a special Saturday broadcast for all of you self-isolators. Thank you for joining us today, and we will actually see you tomorrow.